Let Ferguson's knowledgeable product experts kick off your next kitchen or bath project with the latest in touch and hands-free faucets, high-performance gas ranges, or low-decibel dishwashers. They're really quiet. Request your appointment today at FergusonShowrooms.com. The best decision ever.
Visit Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery in Nashville to discover a wide selection of Whirlpool appliances. From refrigeration to laundry, there's no brand better than Whirlpool. Find out more at FergusonShowrooms.com.
Our next guest, a three-time Super Bowl champion, 12-year career in the league. You know him now as a big-time football analyst. Mark Schlereth sits down with us on Radio Row. Mark, good to see you, man.
Likewise. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing
great.
Well.
Great. That's awesome.
I hardly had the run you had. I worked at ESPN for 9 years. I covered the AFC South and the Titans. And I had a contract not renewed.
Okay.
You had somewhat similar circumstances after a much longer run. My life's gotten better after ESPN. I wonder about yours.
Things are great, and I have great relationships with ESPN. My last year there, after 16 years there, we sat down in January. My contract was up in June, and they said, what are you going to do? And I said, I am not going to get an opportunity to do games here, and I don't want to go do college games, and I want to do professional games. And that's what I've always kind of aspired to do. And, you know, they weren't going to put me on Monday Night Football because I'm not famous enough. So I was like, all right, well, that's good. It's time.
And you were
so
done with the studio?
Yeah, we just mutually agreed. I still do some studio stuff, but it was the games that I really wanted to do. And I had friends over at Fox that had basically, had said, hey, listen, come over. We'll give you an opportunity. And so that's what I ended up doing. It's been phenomenal for me. Like, doing studio stuff, it's great, and I enjoy the heck out of it, and I still do. I could do it in my sleep. It's easy. Being a game and broadcasting a game is so incredibly difficult, and there's so much to see, and you feel like you just got done playing, except you're not beat to a pulp. And one of the things that's interesting is, as an NFL player, a former player, you tend to view the game kind of through a straw hole, through your prism, right? And you kind of focus down on one thing. And as an analyst in a game mode, you've got to try to take the entirety of the game in. And it is so challenging to look at, kind of try to look at everything. And I always explain to people, it's funny because I'm not a musician, I'm not musical, but I think it's like playing the accordion. And I've never played the accordion, but it's just my vision of, like, you squeeze that accordion in, and you get very myopic in your focus of what you're analyzing. And then you pull it back out, and you talk about the game globally, from a global perspective. And it's this constant concert of in and out, and in and out. And it's just been a real treat to be able to be given the opportunity to go out there and do that and prep and really know those teams.
It's one of the best descriptions I've ever heard of calling a game, with the accordion reference. Because you've been on television so much, in your work and studio and everything else, the Monday Night Football situation with Jason Witten, it's been off-criticized throughout the year.
Sure.
I was shocked that they didn't give him more live reps in the studio, on different shows, with all the avenues that ESPN has. They thought, hey, if we really rep this thing and practice games all offseason and not put him on camera on live TV, everything's going to be fine. But if you don't have those reps where you're in front of a live camera and you know that you're on television at that point, it's a new thing for a lot of people.
Sure.
And we saw some of that this year. Was that at all surprising to you that they didn't roll him out a lot more before the games?
No, because that's what they do in the television world. They like, my first television experience at ESPN, I rolled in, I had a production meeting. I'd never been on television before. I said, hey, come back at 6 o'clock for makeup. 6 o'clock, came in for makeup, got makeup, went down to the studio, plugged in, put an IFB in. My producer was like, make your comments to camera one. I was like, okay. And they said, 10 seconds live TV, good luck, don't screw it up.
That was the tryout, basically, for you,
right,
at that point.
That was it. And that's what you did. So, no, it doesn't surprise me. I called Jason during the season because he was taking – he's such a good man, and he was taking so much heat. And I said, what makes a good analyst is your ability to talk about football and teach people something about football. I watched Jason Witten, and I learned something about football. He's a good analyst. Now, you have to, your presentation, obviously, that's what has to get better. But like Jason is a good analyst, and so that's going to come. He's going to get better and better with reps and opportunity. But it's, you know, his situation and my situation are completely different because I went the same thing. I never did a game before. I just walked in the studio and did a game. They like you were phenomenal at doing games. Well, I've been in studio a lot, but I mean, I walked into the booth. But the difference for me is I'm doing, you know, I'm doing Tampa at Chicago. I'm doing a local market game essentially. He's like ESPN Monday Night Football. That's a bad place. That's a bad place to have a couple of verbal gaffes, you know.
Yeah,
and
it's your training ground,
right? And Lord knows I've had plenty over the course of my career. So like, there's a little bit of a difference, a level of level of criticism that's coming his way as it is to the rest of us who come through a kind of a little different journey.
Mark Schlereth with us on the Midday 180.
Opposite end of the spectrum is Tony Romo, who is hailed as a revolutionary analyst who can tell us what's going to happen before it happens, brings an energy, an excitement that fans plug right into. From your chair, what's he been like to watch?
Oh, he's been fun, man. He's a guy that I learn football from. We all have different perspectives. We've all been through different, you know, different things in life. You know, I mean, I think about just the way we try to cookie cutter everybody in our society, and it drives me bananas. I mean, I'm a kid that grew up dyslexic in Anchorage, Alaska, that didn't learn to read till I was in the seventh grade, that constantly was made fun of for being stupid. And thank the Lord, thank God we're created differently. You know, the Bible says that we are wonderfully and differently made. Thank God that I had recess. Thank God that I had PE. So I could come out and dispense some justice and at least have some, you know, at least have some freaking, you know, some street cred in grade school.
Dispense some justice.
Right?
I like that.
Because I was the dumb kid. And so I appreciate the differences. I appreciate seeing the game from a different set of eyeballs. Because it's funny, when I worked at ESPN with Teddy Bruschi, we did a ton of shows together. And we would watch games together. And it was so interesting to just the subtle differences, the way he sees a play and the way I see a play, and we're looking at the exact same play. You know, just from the offensive perspective, that's strong right. From the defensive perspective, it's strong left. I'm going, no, that's strong right. No, it's strong left. What are you talking about? What are you looking at? I'm looking at the same play you are. Yeah, but I'm looking at it from a defensive perspective. I'm like, I never thought about it that way, right? And it's just different. And Tony was phenomenal with, like you said, the energy and his knowledge of the game. The thing that I find most intriguing about him from the quarterback position is his knowledge of, like, the two-minute aspect of the game and what you're trying to accomplish. And I learned a lot from watching Tony Romo in those situations because it was things that, frankly, I didn't have to think about when I played. It was
Mark,
his job.
You mentioned being from Anchorage, and the story goes that the NFL did not even look your way until you got into the weight program at Idaho. What was it about the weight program?
Well, no, I was injured, so I was retired from football as a junior in college. I was done, and I had played defense and I had played a lot of different positions, and so I was actually completely retired, and I begged my way back into the University of Idaho. I actually signed papers to limit their liability towards me as an injury risk, so that I could play my senior year, switch positions, started playing offensive line from the defensive side of the ball. And so I had 1 year of college football that I actually played. My story is there was a guy by the name of Marvin Washington who played defensive end for us at Idaho who had 14 sacks his senior year. He was a former basketball player. And Marvin invited me to his workouts. I didn't have an agent. I just was done. And I showed up to Marvin's workouts and begged scouts to let me work out for them. And, you know, the incredible part of the story to me is the unselfishness and how you deal with each other as teammates. Because I would absolutely whip Marvin's ass in every workout from a strength standpoint to a speed standpoint to an agility standpoint, everything. I probably cost him 3 rounds in the draft. He got drafted in the 6th round. He'd probably been a 3rd rounder if he hadn't worked out with me. But he loved me enough to keep inviting me to his workouts. Now, here's the cool thing. After our championship in Denver in 1997, Mike Shanahan comes down. I'm in the training room rehabbing whatever injury I'm rehabbing. He said, hey, man, we need depth on the defensive line. Here's a list of 6 or 7 guys. Do you know any of these guys that would fit our team? and I looked at the list, and Marvin Washington, his name was on there. I go, sign him. We signed Marvin, and Marvin and I won a world championship together the following year. So, you know, it kind of came back full circle. But I wouldn't have played in the National Football League had it not been for Marvin Washington.
Mark Schlereth has been our guest. Our coverage here brought to you by Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery and the Low T Center. And we've been telling everyone to go to lowtcenter.com for more information.
Yeah, it's they've been incredible for me. I mean, one-stop shop is guys, we don't want to take care of anything and we don't want to know anything, right? they've been incredible, not only diagnosing your testosterone issues, but sleep apnea. It's a kind of a one-stop shop, thyroid conditions, anything that may be keeping you slow, if you're feeling tired, lethargic, whatever the case may be, check them out, Low T Center. There's 47 locations across America, but they have really helped me get back in the gym feeling as good as I felt in quite some time. And so really owe them a ton for kind of helping me out in my journey to health, if you will.
Mark, great to have you on the show.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.